In the late 1960s, an all-girl group hit it big in South Vietnam. Singers didn't come out of Motown or Memphis, but the Australian outback. Four young Aboriginal women living at a time when Aboriginal people were just gaining basic civil rights, like voting and being counted as Australian citizens. They auditioned and were hired to go to Vietnam to entertain U.S. troops there. As casualties climbed and America was itself divided by the war and the struggle for civil rights, the singers called themselves the Sapphires, and that's the name of a new movie written by the son of one of the group who sang their way through the war, Tony Briggs, and his mother, Laurel Robinson, one of the original real-life Sapphires, joined us from our studios in New York. Miss Robinson, Mr. Briggs, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting us
to
be here.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for having us.
Obviously, Motown music remains popular all over the world, from fjords of Scandinavia to Australia. But was there something particularly in Motown that appealed to you living in Aboriginal Australia?
Well, as a young girl, we grew up with listening to country and western. And then when the first time I heard soul music was when my cousins brought home these records. Back then we used to go to a church group and we'd invite all the different visiting black entertainers or sportsmen that came to Australia. And that's how the soul music sort of we caught on to. We loved it. Mm-hmm.
Tony Briggs, were you around at this time?
I was born in 1967. And you know, as a young boy in the 70s, I used to listen to the music that my mum had in the house and played in the house, and that was around me and around my family quite a lot. And, yeah, groups like The Temptations, Jackson 5, and the list goes on. And I used to sit in the car and just play this one, Motown's Greatest Hits, over and over and over again.
We want to play a clip, if we could, from the film. And this is when Chris O'Dowd, playing Dave, your piano player, producer, press agent, everything, in the film, is trying to give some instruction on how you sing soul music.
In soul music, they're struggling to get it back, and they haven't given up. So every note that passes through your lips should have the tone of a woman who's grasping and fighting and desperate to retrieve what's been taken from her. You understand? Now, what it is that you're searching for, that's up to you.
Wow. Was that part of the music and how you were able to put yourself across to GIs?
Very similar, yes. Yes. We had to be taught a little bit how to sing it and how to get it across. We were taught by the New Zealand Maori band that we went over with to Vietnam.
The New Zealand Maori band,
yes,
taught you how to sing American soul music?
Yeah. Well, we started off, you know, I was 16 years old, singing in a club in Melbourne. After we'd finished our night shift as telephone operators, that's where we got a little bit of fame. That they taught us how to sing and the breathing and that, you know. But they loved our harmonies. That's how it sort of started.
The story is, it's set in Australia, then they go to Vietnam, but the stories that Mum had told me, they were so rich in adventure. They had not only gone to Vietnam, but they went to the Philippines and Singapore as well. Is that correct, Mum? Yeah, she's nodding her head, yes. And, you know, I extracted little bits and pieces from, you know, her adventures in most of those places.
There's a particularly heart-piercing episode, I think, in the film when you have a cousin in the family in the film named Kay who is light-skinned, and you learn that her story, she was part of what sometimes in Australia I gather called the Stolen Generation. These are light-skinned Aboriginal children taken from their homes and given to white families elsewhere in the country. Is this something that your family knew personally and directly?
My mother, her three sisters were taken away the oldest sister was 16. They were taken away to a home where they were taught to do domestic work, mm-hmm. and then they were farmed out to different families. My mother was in hospital at the time, and she was 3 years old. She didn't get to see them until she was 16. But she was lucky to be in hospital because they missed her, missed out on taking her away. When they were taken away, my grandmother was heard moaning just out in a field, crying and moaning. That was so heartbreaking, even when she used to tell us as we got older, our grandmother finally, you know, talked about it, and we would cry for her because the heartache she went through, that hundreds of Aboriginal families went through.
Tony Briggs, it was important to you to make that a part of the story, I guess.
Yes, sir, it was. You know, it's important to me to express myself through my art and express who I am through that. And a huge part of who I am is what has happened to my family members and, you know, many other people's families who I know personally.
Laurel Robinson, was there a performance in particular you sometimes replay in your mind or think about?
Yes, there was a particular show. It was outside, and I thought, there's nobody here, no audience, no chairs or anything. It was a makeshift stage. So they said, don't worry about that, just, you know, get your show ready. So we did, we were getting changed in the back, and we heard all this noise. And when I peeped out to have a look, I could see all these tanks rolling in, rolling up to the stage, with soldiers all over them, you know, coming to see the show. I think it was one of the best shows we ever did. When we finished, we went off stage, and when we came out, there was no one was there. We just saw them disappearing into the jungle. That's a vision I'll always carry with me for the rest of my life.
Laurel Robinson, one of the real-life members of the Sapphires. Her son, Tony Briggs, is the writer of a new movie by that same name. And this week, Australia's Prime Minister Julia Gillard delivered a national apology for the policy of forced adoptions. She said, by saying sorry, we can correct the historical record. We can declare that these mothers did nothing wrong, that you loved your children, and you always will. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.